Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long was I changed in sin's darkness. Savior for me. Just as I was, he received me, seeking from judgment to flee. Now there is no condemnation.
Christ is the Savior
for me. Savior of sinners like me. Shedding his blood for my ransom, Christ is the Savior for me.
We're going to open our Bibles again to Isaiah in chapter 55. Nice to be here again and help out with the gospel. I trust that God will give help for the last part of the meeting. Isaiah in chapter 55. I'm going to wait till the young ones get it. Isaiah 55, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and for your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in its fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that knowest not, and the nations that know not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Verse number 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let them return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon them to our God, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that which goeth forth in my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now I don't plan to speak in the whole chapter, but mainly we'll focus here on verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. So I trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word. And here we have in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. He's often noted for the gospel preacher of the Old Testament. And here he is, the gospel preacher. He's telling the sinners, ho, everyone that thirsteth. So think of the way the Bible describes certain things. We can think of how, to make it simple, the Lord Jesus, he would talk with a multitude of people, he would talk with a group of people, and he would use illustrations that they would understand. For instance, you remember back in the, where he would tell the parable of the two men that built the house, one with a foundation and one without. We can think of how he could tell of the debtors and how these people would owe they owed a man money, the lender money, and they could not pay. And yet how the Lord Jesus would use different examples to explain to the sinners their lost need before God. But here we have Isaiah, and he brings up this this illustration or this analogy about being thirsty, about water, about being thirsty. You know, water. Or thirst is mentioned at least 31 times in the scriptures. 31 times thirst is mentioned. Everyone knows it's a very simple thing. Everyone knows here what it's like to just to be simply thirsty. Maybe after a hot summer day, or maybe after sitting through a meeting, you're very thirsty and you can't wait to get out and to get a nice cool drink of water. But here we are, we're mentioned, this topic of thirsty is brought forth. The last time that thirst is mentioned, or being thirsty is mentioned, is in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 16. It says, neither shall they thirst anymore. And then in the last chapter of Revelation, it says, come all you that thirst, come. So being thirsty is a very simple illustration that we can use tonight to hopefully to help you with your lost condition before God. So it says, ho, everyone that thirsteth. And when you think of that first word, ho, you think of that word that would call to attention, that word to stop. And that's what we would ask in the meeting tonight. You know, we're always so busy nowadays. We have lots of things going on. We have our day planners on our hips, and we, you know, we have so many things to do, so many appointments. And here we are, just the brink of summer. School is out for another 2 months, and all you can think about is all the things you would like to do. And there's many things that are going through your mind right now. I remember when I was a young child sitting on the front row in gossip meetings, and you just be thinking of what I'm going to do tomorrow with my friends or with my cousins, or the presents maybe you got for graduating from another successful year at school. But, you know, the gospel preacher here in Isaiah, he says, stop, every one that thirsts. So as we are traveling on this broad road, this road here, it's a very busy road. They're all heading down, and Satan would seek to keep people occupied, keep them busy, because then that way they just sneak right down to death and don't get time to get off the broad way. So as we're on this road here, as I said, it's a very busy road. It's a wide road. There's lots of people on the road. But friend, in the meeting tonight, will you just simply stop and listen to what the gospel preacher here in Isaiah has to say? So ho, everyone that thirsteth. So what's it mean? Excuse me, what does it mean to be thirsty? You know, there's lots of thirst quenchers. We can, I know I was over in Newfoundland for the first time there a couple weeks ago, and you can picture this big high mountain, and I could see the water running down, and I got talking with Mr. Burton there, who was out hiking with us, and I got talking to him about the streams that come down. I asked him, is it safe to drink that water? And he, of course, it was safe to drink the water. They actually don't drill wells there because it's too rocky, and they can get the water right from the top of the mountain. They just pipe it down the mountain, and that's what the people drink. And we got down right in that stream coming down the mountain, and there we had a nice, cool, refreshing drink. You know, it's better than any Pepsi or anything on the shelf. You know, this time of year, there always seems to be a new drink that some company is trying to promote to be the thirst quencher. And, you know, as you try them, some of them they have, you know, sometimes they taste really good going down, but then they leave that nasty aftertaste or something. But there's nothing like that fresh, cool drink of water. So he says, ho ye everyone that thirsteth. So now let's apply that to the spiritual side of our life. What does it mean to be thirsty? You know, because we're sinners, we have a thirst that is within us. We seem to want to try and find a way to quench that thirst. And you know, the world has many many things that would try to quench that thirst. You know, we have this emptiness inside us because of our sin. You see, back in the Garden of Eden, when man would dwell with God, but yet when man disobeyed and man sinned, that fellowship was broken because of our sin. Now we have that sin, and we're trying to fill that emptiness in our hearts. And that's why, you know people, they always would, I think in my own life, you can always, you know, you're always thinking of that thing that would make you satisfied. You know, maybe for the young ones here, you know, when I was your age, maybe I'd be thinking about a new tractor, or I couldn't wait till I was 16 and I'd get my first car. Or maybe it was that I wish Dad would buy that, you know, that piece of land so that way we could start a farm or something. Or, you know, you always were thinking about that. But as you get older and as you get that stuff together, as you get that job, as you get that new car, and the little bit of joy you get from it, you know, you have to start grabbing deeper and deeper for more joy to try to quench that thirst, because four wheels and a steering wheel or handlebars will not quench that thirst within your soul. Only Christ can satisfy that thirstiness within your soul. So we live in a very thirsty world. You know, many would thirst after maybe different forms of entertainment for satisfaction, or fame or fortune. Or, you know, you think that Hollywood, those people that, you know, have all that money and are so famous, maybe they would be satisfied. But I read a quote back in It was back a few months ago, but it was posted on the heavenforsure.com website. And it was about Tim Brady. He's an NFL. He plays for the New England Patriots. He's a three-time Super Bowl champion. He was the first youngest one to reach it at age 24. On December 27th, he was interviewed by 60 Minutes by Steve Koff, and he interviewed Tom Brady. And this is a quote from him, okay? So he asked him the question, this is Tom Brady speaking. He says, "Why do I have three Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey man, this is what it is. I've reached my goal, my dreams, my life. But me, I think it's got to get more than this. I mean, this isn't all there is. It can't be. It's not all what it's cracked up to be." You know, so you can see the emptiness of there he is, a young superstar with more money than you could probably ever imagine and more toys, whatever. But yet, he's empty. He's reached that pinnacle, but yet, he's empty inside. And friend, tonight, only Christ can satisfy that man's need. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, and come ye to the waters." So I would ask you tonight to stop and listen to the message of the gospel. Because the devil, he has us so busy on this road. He tries to fill our minds with so many things. Put that all aside and look at the lost condition you're in tonight. As I said, we are thirsty because we're sinners, and sin makes us very thirsty. We think of that sheep that would always see that green pasture on the other side. You think of it back in Isaiah 53 and verse number 6, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." So just like that sheep, we've gone after those greener pastures. We've gone our own way. We've departed from God. And that is because of our sin, and now we have this emptiness within. You know, you can remember the prodigal son. In Sunday school, you've heard tell of the prodigal son lots. And how from a young fellow, he couldn't wait to get out from his father's house. And there he would ask him for his inheritance. And there he would take that great sum of money. And there he would head to the far country. And we can read about all the fun that he had. And maybe tonight you're just wishing that, you know, if I was only 18 or 20, I would move out and I would have a blast. I would have a lot of fun. No more gospel meetings. No more mom and dad telling me what to do. I would live it up and that would be the joy. But you can see how the prodigal son, when he spent all his money, he had to humble himself and he had to come back home with rags and no money left, and went back to his father's house to ask for forgiveness. So there's no pleasure in this world, no fulfillment, nothing to quench that thirst that would take that away. So what's the gospel preacher saying next? He says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth." And then he says, "Come ye to the waters." Now I'm hoping speaking on thirst isn't making everyone physically thirsty, but here he says, "Come ye to the water." So you can imagine that glass of cold. I think of my best glass of water there. It wasn't really a glass, but it was on that marble mountain with that nice ice cold water. So fresh and refreshing. But you can think of the waters. "Come ye to the water." Something that will satisfy that great thirstiness from within. So this is the Lord's invitation. He's inviting everybody tonight, right from the youngest in the front row, right to the back. He's inviting everybody tonight, "Come ye to the waters." It's the Lord's invitation. And you know, it can go out to all because of Calvary. You see, the Lord Jesus, there he died on the cross. He offered himself as that perfect sacrifice to God to take away all the sin of the world. And now he says, "He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." So salvation can go out to anybody tonight. It's not just limited to a certain few. You know, there's not many things in life that can take everybody in. You know, there's always that fine print we read about. But yet, there's no fine print in this. The message goes out to all. The Lord's invitation. It's the Lord's provision. You know, it says down here, "And he that hath no money, come ye and buy. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. It's with grace alone. God has paid it all. Come as you are. No money needed." You know, the best thing in all this world is actually free. And how people work towards to get money so they can afford different things, so they can have things around them. But yet, the greatest thing in all this earth is without money and without price. But you know, for some people, that's really hard to accept. Everything in this life, they've worked hard for. They've worked honestly. They've accumulated and were smart with their money and they're able to buy things to advance. And now, here comes the greatest thing of all the earth, And it says, without money and without price, you mean I have to come the same way as anybody else does? Yes, friend, you have to come the same way as anybody else does. You know, if God was to put a price on salvation, us as men cannot afford it. We're bankrupt before God. We cannot bring one good thing. We cannot pay a cent towards the Lord's salvation. And then it says, by grace alone. You know, that's hard for a proud sinner to accept. You know, people who try to do good works. You know, we've been hearing about sin tonight, but there's people that, you know, they try real good not to hurt their neighbor, to do good, to try to keep the Ten Commandments. But friend, you can't. It's by grace alone. You can't earn salvation. That's hard for a proud sinner to accept. But yet God has paid it all. God has paid the full price in full. It's in order that you could be saved. You know, so we've been looking a little bit over, looking to Christ for salvation. We don't look to ourselves for salvation. You come to the waters. You don't look to yourself to quench that thirst. You look to Christ for salvation. Matthew 11, verse 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, when I was young and I wanted to be saved, I thought, well, if I read all the verses as like the preachers do and put my name in those verses, surely I'll get saved. Or maybe if I was to stay after meeting and to be trying to get rid of trouble, maybe that's the key to getting saved. Because I heard tell of people when they stay behind, they get saved. But that didn't seem to work. And plus, I was too shy to do that anyway. I'd sneak it in the side door. But yet, maybe if I was to, you know, put a tear on my face to try to think and be really sorry for my sin, maybe that would get me saved. But friend, I was looking to myself for salvation. And you don't look to yourself for salvation. You look to Christ. He is the one that can save you, not yourself. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is there anybody here that tonight that is thirsty, that is tired of it all, is burdened down by their sin? The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. And only those here that know Christ as our Savior can know what that rest is that the Lord Jesus is talking about. To be able to go home at night and put your head on the pillow, I know it's been said many times, and to know that my sins are forgiven, and if I don't make it to the morning, I'm going to be in heaven. I will give you rest. So we have the ruin of ourselves. We're thirsty, we're longing for salvation because of our sin. We have rebelled against God, going our own way because we're sinners. We've heard about that tonight. We have gone our own way, and because we have gone our own way, there's judgment. But yet, we cannot try to please God. We can't even please Him, for we've sinned. So that leaves us in a pretty helpless state. We are utterly bankrupt spiritually, with no claims to God whatsoever before a holy and an awesome God. That judgment deserves to fall on you tonight, friend. But it's only the grace of God that it hasn't. God's remedy, salvation through Jesus Christ. He is a thirst quencher in this life, and He is able to give eternal life. He can fill the longings of your heart. He can forgive you of that sin, and He can you be declared righteous. So Christ is a sinless servant, has made an infinite sacrifice, and all that come to Him by faith are justified and are found righteous in His sight. You can know your sins are forgiven and be found righteous in His sight tonight. But you know, the gospel message is the best message that there is out there. How man can know their sins forgiven. But yet, friend, you can't just walk away from it. You will be held responsible for what you hear in the meeting tonight. You know, what will you do with Jesus? Will you continue on the way you are, busy, trying to find that thing that's going to fill your life, that thing that's going to fill that hollow or quench that thirst? Continue on the way you are, or will you stop and listen to the preacher here? Stop, everyone that thirsteth, and come to the waters. Will you come to the Savior tonight, realizing that he paid for your sin, realizing that if He says, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out, that's what He means. And friend, I just would trust that tonight, that you would, even though there's young ones here, you don't have to wait till you're old. Like, I was 15 when I got saved. I shouldn't have put it off that long. I wish I would have got saved younger. You don't have to put it off. Because as you get older, the desires to want more seem to get greater. And the emptiness is more. So get saved while you're young. Come to Christ tonight. He will save you. And you can know your sins forgiven. So with that, we'll just ask for the Lord's blessing on the meeting tonight. Amen. Our God, our Father, we come before Thee again at the end of this meeting to give Thee thanks for Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize some, Father, here in this meeting tonight don't know what it is to have their sins forgiven. We pray that they would be honest with themselves and confess their emptiness before Thee, and the emptiness that sin has brought in amongst into their own soul. And Father, we just would pray that tonight that they would drink in that simple truth that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So we just would ask that Thou would part us with Thy blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So we'll just sing a few verses of, let's see here, number 92. Well-known hymn, but it's a favorite hymn of mine, too. It's the gospel so simple, just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bids me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. So maybe just the first four verses of 92, and thanks once again for coming.